Good afternoon, church. Happy Sabbath to you. I'm happy to be here. Let me tell you the reason why I'm happy to be here. I'm just returning back from one of the most beautiful country in the old world. I am just coming back, so I'm still fresh. You know, I'm looking over that corner. I'm tempted to ask Lawrence to sing that song for me. You know, when you were in West Indies College, you came on holiday. You came around that piano, and you sung that song. It started, Lord. I don't know if you remember that song. I need that song, Lawrence. Wow. I want to let you know that I'm not a whispering hope, yeah? A lot of things have happened to me in the last 2 years. But God has given me extra strength. You don't know what I'm talking about. You will hear it. You will hear it. Dr. Roach, it's good to see you. You know, I'm coming up to retirement also, but you're in front of me. Yeah. Just give me some time, you know. Certain people would be around me when I travel, but unfortunately, they're not around me. But God will give me the strength to carry on. Elder, it was good to hear from you. I know who you are talking about because they called me and they didn't ask me to come. They're telling me to come to Watford because the furthest place I've been was Luton Town. So I've never preached past here, so I like it here, what I've seen so far. Some of you know me, some of you don't know me. I've seen Alvin's sister here, and it's always good to see you. Let me just say something before I get into this sermon. My sermon is going to be very short today, purposely. It was the year 1979. It was one of those cold winter. And coming from one of the most beautiful islands in the world, to come to a country, when you look down from the plane, all you could see was white. But I have decided it doesn't matter what's going to happen. I'm going to land in the white. Came to London, and what I thought when I was in one of the most beautiful islands in the world, it's not what I got when I came here. Are you with me? It so happened I could not find a church. I took the bus, and I rode the bus from Tottenham to Edmonton. But along the way, I remember a sign said the Seventh-day Adventist Church was done by Cuckoo Hall Lane. So I decided, I didn't have telephone in those days. I decided the Sabbath morning, no, it's not the Sabbath morning, the Friday night. Yes, please. I'm going to decide to go up there to find out where the church is. And then the Sabbath morning, I would make my presence in the church. So the Sabbath morning, I got up early, not knowing here you get up for church late. It was snowing. I got to church too early. It was about 9:30. It was snowing. I stood outside, and then I saw a camper van. Let me put it that way, Lawrence. And there was Mr. Trevor, Mr. Cecil, Mr. Lawrence, Big Johnson, and Sister Johnson, and Pat Johnson. Never forget these people. And the first thing they asked me when they saw me, where are you from? So I told them I'm from one of the most beautiful islands in the world. Let me tell you something, Lawrence. I thank you very much. Because I was on the street. And I was looking for guidance because my parents left me over there. And I came here by myself. But God has brought me from a mighty long way. You're not hearing me, church. You know, the Johnson took me under the wings. When church was finished, they make sure I get a seat in that comer van. And they'll take me down to Tottenham until I could find my way. And I want to say, Lawrence, thank you very much for your mother, your father, Trevor, Pat, and Cecil, and yourself for guiding me. Thank you very much. I'm so happy. You don't know. There's so much I could say, but I won't say it. Dr. Roach, it's good to see you. Yeah? And I've seen some other faces here. I just cannot remember the name, but we're going to meet up after church. Don't run away today. Let us pray. Eternal Father and our God, the one who said it and it was done, we call upon your name at this time because there is no other name like Jesus. We're asking you to keep us near the cross. Be with us. Be for us. Be beneath us and be behind us. Send your Holy Spirit to come and to tabernacle with us. In Jesus' name we pray. Let the children of God say, amen. Amen. In Watford here, you are slightly quiet. Where I'm living and where I'm from, if the football team is playing down there, you can hear the echo up here. But when it comes to calling on the name of Jesus, we have a problem with it. Is that right? But I'm not going to be afraid to exclaim God's word. But I still do respect your church. You know, so I'm not going to go as a Pentecostal. So don't worry about that. If my volume is a bit too high, I would like you to raise your hand. And I will water down the sermon to suit you. Is that all right? Daniel, God surely will deliver. The question is asked, if God was looking for a perfect person, would he call your name? Are you with me? Is the volume too loud? Or would your name be on his list? I want you to think about that. You know, we are coming to church every week. But is our name on his list? Oh, we just come into church to sit down and to enjoy what's going on in church. Or can you stand alone? We are more than halfway through the year already. Now is the time we need to stand up for what is right. God needs reliable servant like John the Baptist. A man who loves nothing but righteousness and hates nothing but ungodliness. Are you with me? I'll soon be finished. Don't worry. God needs dependable preachers like Paul, who was willing to preach the gospel even though the thorn was piercing his flesh. Are you with us? God needs dependable preacher like Ezekiel, who was willing to say, "Stand up, you dry bones, and listen to the word of God." God needs dependable preacher like Noah, who was not willing to give up until his task was done. Talk to me. God needs dependable preacher like Daniel, who was willing to pray even though he was about to be thrown in the lion's den. I want to let you know, church, even though they're about to throw you in the lion's den, God always made provision for his children. Mm-hmm. God needs dependable preacher to preach the word when they feel like resting. God needs dependable preacher to stand when they feel like sitting. Too many lazy, let me leave that one alone. God needs dependable preachers to run when they feel like walking. I say to you this afternoon, God needs dependable preachers. Let me know when I can take my seat. Don't expect everyone to be happy when God blesses you. You're mighty cold when it comes to that. When God wants you in a palace, no one can keep you down in a pit. When God wants you up, no one can keep you down. You're not hearing me. When God wants you in, no one can keep you out. When God is on my side, who can be against me? I'm finished now. I can sit down. Your future is not in the hand of men. Your future is in the hands of God, the Almighty. God has never promised you a rose garden. God has never promised you anything he couldn't back up. You're not hearing me. He never promised you anything he could not deliver. If God is for you, who can be against you? No one can prevent God from giving you success in life. Ask Pastor Lawrence about that. Local elder to a pastor to president. We are proud of you as a black person. Let me say that from the throne. No one can prevent God from blessing you or giving you a blessing. No one can prevent God from giving you success in life. Are you going to call on me now? Soon finish. Only you can prevent this. As Christian, listen to me now. As Christian young people growing up in the church, our lifestyle and our attitude, Lawrence, when we were growing up, man, we were spectacle to Edmonton and Tottenham. when they used to see you three, we used to say the conference outstanding lifestyle trio. When they used to walk, man, you could see they were different. That's why I decided to walk along with them. Because he has a father, when he said something, he meant it. So even if you want to go astray, you could not go astray. Good parentage. Our attitude, our mannerism, our behavior. I'm talking about to our young people. Our accountability, our dress code should be a mirror image to the world. We are the head and not the tail. I need to say something, young people. Hold your standard high. You know, you come in with this guy, young man, and the elder would say to you, in my mind's eye, I don't think this young man is the right type of person for you. But you now, you know everything and I know nothing. You turn around to the elder with disrespect. If I don't get him, I will die. And when you get him, you wish you were dead. Let me leave that one alone. That's the reason why we have so much problems in the world and in the church. Never you go out with somebody who have nothing. Let me leave that one also. So they had, I'm talking about Daniel now. I'm taking it slowly. I'm coming to somewhere now. Elder, Pastor Lawrence, I need you to look at Psalms 19, verses 7 and 8. Elder, you're going to look at Romans 7, verse 12. This is a part of my sermon. So they had a meeting among themselves. You remember, you read it about Daniel, yeah? Because they could not find no fault with Daniel, they tried to find fault in the law of Daniel's God. Are you with me? How could they find fault in the law of Daniel's God when Psalms 19, 7 and 8, I need you to read it aloud. Just a minute.
The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul.
Just a minute, Pastor. Is there anything wrong with something that is perfect?
No.
I'm not hearing you.
No.
Okay, carry on.
The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes.
Is there anything wrong with what Pastor Lawrence has read? Elder, we're waiting on you now.
So Romans 7 verse 12 says, so the law is holy, and the commandment is holy, and just,
right,
and good.
You see, because I was brought up under Elder Johnson's daddy. Was that a King James version you read?
No.
Right, I knew that. I need from the King James version. We'll wait on your palm, Elder.
Wherefore the law is holy.
Is that a King James version?
Yes.
Okay.
Wherefore the law is holy and the commandment holy and just and Okay.
Is there anything wrong with something that is holy?
No.
Talk to me, church.
No.
So what's the problem? Is this biblical or is it coming from somewhere else? Right. So they had a meeting by themselves with themselves, trying to find fault in the law of Daniel's God. Everybody now, I want you to look at Exodus 20. Everybody. And I would like Dr. Roach, if he could join me here, and we do this one together. This is the Adventist one now. Come, sir. I'm going to call Lawrence quite a lot. Lawrence, come and join me as well. Exodus. Yeah, we're getting there, man. We're over 40. Mm-hmm. So we're in crisis, yes? Soon be finished. We have to wait for the elder, yeah? It's first verse, please.
First verse. Number one.
Yeah.
And God spoke all these words, saying,
verse 2. Yes.
I am the Lord your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage.
Thank you.
You shall have no other gods before me.
Are you reading from the King James Version?
The New King James Version.
All right, we'll keep that for the time being.
All right.
Thou shall have no other god before me. Anything that you put before God is your God. Amen. Talk to me now. Yes. If you put your boyfriend before God, that's your God. If you put your 60-inch screen television, that's your God. Mm-hmm. I've just changed my car just a few weeks ago, but that's not my God. I only get it because I want to go around. And because of certain circumstances that occur in my life, that's the reason why I got rid of that car. Next, please.
You shall not make for yourself a craved image, any likeness of anything that is in the heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth.
5.
You shall not bow down to them nor serve them. For I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children to the third and fourth generations of those who hate me, but showing mercy to thousands, to those who love me and keep my commandments.
Elder, you're working with me today.
You shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless who takes his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day.
No. Don't run away with that one. Let me back up a bit. You cannot call yourself a Seventh-day Adventist. But yet still, you're doing likewise. Do you understand me? Oh, you don't understand. Let me put it another way. You cannot be at work calling on the name of Jesus, but yet still you're a devil. You're not getting me. You cannot be at home and you are a devil to your family and come to church and want to lead church. Are you vexed with me saying that? Okay. Who's going to read that one now? That's a troublesome one.
Remem- Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work. But the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord your God. In it you shall do no work, you nor your son, nor your daughter, nor your male servant, nor your female servant, nor your cattle, nor your stranger who is within your gates. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea and all that is in them, and rested the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it.
Right. Let me say something on this. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. You know, I said I was living in one of the most beautiful islands in the old world. And they deal with the Sabbath. You have to get your clothing ready from Thursday. Are you with me? Over here, you don't know how to keep Sabbath. Yeah? But something I did not understand, Lawrence, when I was growing up. If you are not an Adventist and they want something from the shop, whilst you are a baptized member, they are not sending you. They are sending the person who is not baptized. Are you with me? That's hypocrisy. Let me leave that one there. I want you to ponder about this one. Sunset to sunset. I'm not even going to trouble that one. I'm not even going to say anything about that one. Carry on, please. Who's going to read this one?
Okay. It's verse 12. Honor your father and your mother, that your days may be long upon the land which the Lord your God is giving you.
All right. Mm-hmm. Young people, if you are sleeping, wake up. I am approaching a certain age now. And what is carrying me through is respect. Mm-hmm. You're not hearing me. Let me tell you something. I've never in my life have I seen such society so disrespectful. You're not hearing me. They want to go out and come in now when they feel like it. But may I remind you that there is a God above looking down on everything that you're doing. Respect is the key. Who's going to deal with this one?
You shall not murder.
What it says in yours?
In the King James, thou shalt not kill.
Right, stop there. Sometimes as Christians and as Seventh-day Adventists, we talk too much on the phone. You talk about things you don't know about. And when you get caught up in it, you're trying to get out of it by lying. Are you with me? All right, let me leave that one there. I like the way the combination. You read from this Bible and come over to this Bible. I want to make something clear.
You shall not commit adultery.
Thou shalt not commit adultery.
You know what is adultery? You're married. All right, let me put it another way. Prosperity is good. Are you with me? You want to see where I'm going? When you marry her, let me talk to you, gentlemen. When you marry her, she was slim and nice. Yeah? But as time goes by, it's good to have a woman in your life if you can afford it. As time goes by, prosperity kicks in now. You know what I'm talking about? Yes? Some men cannot manage prosperity. So you are hitting 75. I can't handle this. You want to go back to where you start. You are 75, and you're looking for somebody who is 25. Let me tell you something. That's heart attack. I'm not going to say what's going to happen to you. The three of us here will meet you at the cemetery. Can I say some more? Elder.
You shall not steal.
Thou shalt not steal.
Right. What I've noticed with Seventh-day Adventists is that Seventh-day Adventists cannot count from 1 to 10. They can count from 1 to 9. But they have a problem with number 10. Because it says in Malachi, bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse. And prove me now, saith the Lord. You know why some of us are financially depreciated? Because we failed to return to God. What is God? You fix with me now. I'm going to tell you, I don't care. We're supposed to be the richest. Next. I'm only taking bits and pieces. I'm not. Next time you bring me back, I'll go through the whole lot.
You shall not bear false witness against your neighbor.
Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor.
Then, Lawrence, read from 17 and then go back over to Pastor Roach.
Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor thy male servant, nor thy female servant, nor his ox, nor his donkey, nor anything that is thy neighbor's.
You shall not covet your neighbor's house. You shall not covet your neighbor's wife, nor his male servant, nor his female servant, nor his ox, nor his donkey, nor anything that is your neighbor's.
Coming from one of the most beautiful islands in the whole world, when you grow up with your grandparents, they teach you certain things. Do not put your basket too high where you cannot reach it. You see, Sister So-and-so have a 60-inch television. You don't know how hard she works. But you're going to kill yourself to get something that the Lord doesn't want you to have. You may see your next door neighbor with the BMW 252 white seat. You can't afford it because when the insurance comes, it's going to be a problem. What I'm saying that be careful. Take your time and everything will be all right. Do not grudge another person because you don't know how hard they work to get it. Thank you very much, gentlemen.
Thank you.
I'm going into conclusion drive now. As you keep reading about the book of Daniel, the law stated for 30 days, no one should pray to any other god except the king. Foolishness. Yeah. If any man should break the law, they would be thrown in the lion's den. The king agreed and signed the law. Are you there with me? Do you want me to come back in this church to preach? Okay. The Bible says in 1 Peter 4, verses 12 and 13, do not think it strange concerning the fiery trial that will come upon you. Crisis never surprises God. God is always on his guard. He's always ready and waiting to deliver you. You're not hearing me. God never promised you a rose garden. God will stand with you when you are in trouble. You're not hearing me. God will stand with you through your crisis. Daniel knew that the king law was signed and passed. This did not hinder Daniel from serving the right God. The God of Jacob, the God of Abraham, the God of love and purity. Let me tell you, church, I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back. No turning back. Daniel wasn't going to back down from serving his God by some wishy-washy man-made law. Daniel did not get discouraged. He didn't even think to change his mind. His mind was made up. Hold on to what you believe, church. There was no turning back. Whatever happened, he was determined to suffer the consequence. No other God will have any influence over him. If God be God, serve him. If Baal be Baal, serve him. So Daniel went into his house. I'm making the sermon easy for you, innit? And as his custom was, he prayed and gave God thanks. I hear something, Lawrence. When our parents was coming over here during the 50s and the 60s, grandma would sell her cow for £75. You never know that. And send her daughter and a son over here. But when they were over there, they would pray in the morning worship. In the afternoon, they would pray. In the night, they would pray before they go to bed. But coming here, something went wrong. As they get the Queen's Head, you know what I'm talking about, we forget from where we're coming from. Daniel had a daily relationship with God. He was obedient to God. How many more minutes have I got? God does not want people who bear light burden. He wants people who are strong, bold, and barefaced. Daniel did not hide to serve his God. The scripture says his windows were open where he could be seen. Daniel was caught in the act of praying to his God. Daniel has broken the king's law. The king law stated that anyone found breaking the law would be cast into the lion's den. I told you before, God always makes preparation for you. That when they decided to throw you in the lion's den, he is there to guide you. Are you there? So they went to the king, you know, Seventh-day Adventists, and talk in board meeting, and it's going to tell the board something they don't know about because it's what they hear. Only the God that calls you knows whether you will be successful or not. If you are doing what God told you to do and seeking to do your best, you are a success to God. The king was approached concerning Daniel praying to the true God. The king was distressed. Sometimes people put you in certain situations and regret what they have done to you. Daniel may not have seen it, but he believed it. The king gave the order. Don't worry, church, when they wanted to throw you out. The king gave the order for Daniel to be thrown in the lion's den. You may thrown in the lion's den, but church, if you're sleeping, wake up. Don't give up. You know, when I read this story, I realized that the king had some connection with Daniel's God. He told Daniel, the God whom you serve will deliver you. You're not hearing me. The king had a bit of faith that God would deliver Daniel. Someone put it this way, Elder. God looked down Glory High Street and saw an angel coming. Lawrence, I'm going to call you now, man. I need you to sit on that piano. And I need you to fiddle some notes I haven't heard for 40 years. Come on, man. I'm just calling you now. God looked down Glory Hallelujah High Street. And God saw an angel coming. This angel had two wings. Are you with me, church? God called his angel and asked him, how long would it take you to go down to earth to save Daniel from the lion's den? Angel says, Lord, it will take me about a minute. God says, too long. Daniel will be history. Then God looks up Church Avenue. I don't know if it's the Brixton Avenue or Pastor Roach. And saw an angel come in. This angel had four wings. Two wings he covers his eyes, and two wings he covers his feet. God asks this angel, how long would it take you to go down to earth and save Daniel from the lion's den? Angel said, God, it's going to take me about half a minute. God said, your heart is willing, but the flesh is weak. Then an angel appeared. This angel had six wings. Are you with me now? Two wings he covers his eyes. Two wings he covers his feet. Talk to me now, church. Two wings he did fly. Someone recognized him as Angel Gabriel. God said in time past, you have helped me out. You're not hearing me. How long would it take you to go down to earth to save Daniel from the lion's den? Angel Gabriel says, half a second. God said, that's not fast enough. Coming down Glory Hallelujah Highway, you're not hearing me now. One tall and majestic in stature. His hair is like wool. His eyes is like flaming fire. His feet are like burnt brass. You're not hearing me. This one has no wings. Someone recognizes this one as the Prince of Peace. Someone recognizes this one as the Mighty God. Someone recognized this one as the Mighty Counselor. Someone recognizes this one as the Everlasting Father. Someone recognizes this one as the Great I Am. Someone recognizes this one as the Good Shepherd. Someone recognizes this one as the King of Kings. Someone recognizes this one as the hope of glory. Are you with me, church? Someone recognizes this one as the Lord of Lords. Words would fail me to tell you who is this one. Someone recognizes this one as the bread of life. Someone recognizes this one as the great physician. Someone recognizes this one as the rock of ages. Someone recognizes this one as the high priest. I need a roving mic. I feel like I can move now. God called this one. Before God could open his mouth, the message came back to God. Father, I'm down here already. You're not hearing me. He came and gave lockjaw to the lion. That's the reason why I can say it is no secret. It is no secret what God can do. What he has done for others, he will do it for you. Can you see me on the camera still? If not, I'll go back upstairs. It is no secret what God can do. My God has done miraculous things. He raised the dead. He gave sight to the blind. He fed the hungry. He gave water to the thirsty. I'm coming to something. The way I feel now, I need a big towel. I need a big towel. You might be laughing, but this one is not, it's not a laughing matter. My God has done so much. But as Christian, may I say, sometimes we are very ungrateful for what God has done for us. I'm going to give you two testimonies in one. It's just a few years ago. Couldn't go up the stairs, Pastor Roach. Feel different. And when you have a good woman in your life, you're not hearing me. These women who knows things that men don't know. Men don't like pains. They see things before you even know it. Coming in, Lawrence cannot get up the stairs. And I said, what is this? And women use their head very fast. Outside, I'm only giving you a shot. Outside, the ambulance was already there. They didn't know that she phoned the ambulance. They came in and they said to me, we cannot force you, but it is better you come with us to the hospital. Well, I decided I'm not going to question anything. I reluctantly went into the ambulance. Took me to the hospital. The changeover of the bed was so rapid. I was wondering to myself, what is happening? It so happened that I end up in the intensive care unit of the Northwick Park Hospital. I said, what is this? I am showing you God is good. Many of us, we don't like hospital. I turned around, Elder, and I said, how long am I going to be here for? Doctor looked at me and he says, about 10 days. I said, what happened? They said you had a low heart rate and we don't know how you get here and you're not dead. So we have to operate on you. So you're looking at a man with, what do you call it, a pacemaker. But let me tell you, the pacemaker done me good. You're not hearing me yet. That was number one. When the devil is out for you sometimes, you just said, Lord, give me strength to hold on. The reason why I said I want a towel, I know why. Last year, or is it the year before? The year before. One of them. The year before. I am recovering from this operation to find out the devil is at me again. You're not hearing me, church. I can say no without crying. So I said, Lord, what is happening? I noticed my wife losing weight. I said to her, you need to go to the hospital. She came back not looking good. So I said, what's wrong, Pastor Roach? She said, they said that she has, what do you call it, metastatic? In other words, incurable cancer. You're not hearing me. As a man, I have got my heart condition. You coming in to tell me you have got terminal cancer. For the doctor now to call me and said, we have done everything we could. We can't go no further. How are you going to feel? I tell you, it was a Sabbath evening like this. Things got worse. The pastors that came in and they prayed. They prayed. Well, let me tell you something. It is no secret what God can do. What he has done for others, he will do it for you. He saved me. He saved me from death. But unfortunately, death took her away. After, ...33 years of good marriage, one son, to see my wife just go. But Lord, I did my crying. It was rough. The roughest part is to see that box go down. You don't understand. They said women are strong. I had to bear up. Have a troublesome church to deal with. To have the devil on my back to take away my wife. But when I read the Bible, Lawrence, if I never believe it, I believe it more. Job says, although he slew me, you're not hearing me. Although he slew me, yet will I trust him. I see God is doing some miraculous thing in my life. I said, God, I'm not going to question nothing. I don't care what Seventh-day Adventist member has to say. You are guiding me, and I will follow you. I have decided to follow Jesus until I breathe the last breath. It is hard sometimes coming home and you say, Angie, nothing is coming back, but I'm holding on strong. You pray for me. Last year, I did not want to pray. I did not want to do nothing. But people were there to guide me. I'm coming from a mighty long way. You know, Lawrence, I can tell you, I came here on the street. No guidance. When I end up with the Johnsons, They were the best guidance, because we would go to church on Friday nights. I was in the choir. You know, Trevor was a guidance to me. Sesu was a guidance to me. And I want to thank you, Lord. You know, but although he slew me, yet will I trust him. Pass me not, O gentle Savior. I'm going to ask if you're between the ages of 1 and 35. I'm going to ask you to come. We're going to pray. And we go. So I'm going to ask you to stand.